You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Karen Chua.
In our weekly chat with the ACT Party, I spoke with Karen Chua firstly about any updates on the coalition negotiations, which seemed to be in the final stages 17 days since the election result was finalised. I then inquired about the ACT Party's stance on funding for the Department of Conservation and other organisations following the massive success of the Bird of the Century. Finally, I inquired into ACT's stance on calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. Firstly, I'd like to ask, what updates can you give us on the coalition negotiations between National ACT and New Zealand First?
Look, this is just an ongoing negotiations at the moment. There's not much I can really say in regards to that, except that I trust my team is working hard to get a good deal together that will be long-lasting and enable us to be a strong, effective government in the next 3 years.
Would you be able to give us any insight into some of the issues that the parties have faced forming this government?
Yeah, we've actually agreed that we're not going to do negotiations through the media, so there's actually not much I can really update you on, apart from the fact that, you know, conversations are being had, and we hope to have a really strong agreement as soon as possible so we can move forward as a strong government.
Earlier this week, I think it was later today or yesterday, Christopher Luxon has spoken that the taxpayers were paying for staff members' flights and accommodation, stating that the cost of holding talks in Auckland to form a new government is the price of democracy. How does the ACT Party stand on the use of taxpayers' funds to cover the cost of hotels and flights?
Yeah, look, I mean, that's a decision and a statement that's been made by the national leader. And quite frankly, the negotiations, no matter where they're held, some people would have had to travel. But, I mean, it makes sense that it's in Auckland at the moment, considering that the three leaders all have accommodation in Auckland. I mean, I'm sure that once the deal is done and they've decided on what they're going to do, that we'll all be moving down to Wellington and moving as quickly as possible to get started.
Would this be in line with the wasteful spending cutbacks that you have been proposing?
I mean, look, we have to make sure that we get this right. And if that means that some people are going to have to travel to Auckland in order to do that, then I guess that's what needs to happen. That's a decision that's been made well above my pay grade. But I do believe that it is necessary to have certain people in the room. And if that's what it takes to get a strong deal for our government, then I'm sure it's the best thing that could have been done.
Moving on to my next set of questions. So last week we saw the results of the Bird of the Year and the hype around it was quite large. I think it's also highlighted the importance and the urge to support conservation in Aotearoa. Could you explain what the ACT Party's stance is on the role and the importance of conservation in New Zealand?
Oh, look, I mean, it's actually quite exciting seeing how well this election for Bird of the Year went. I mean, I'm sure John Oliver's sort of campaign for the Bird of the Year helped in that aspect. They had record votes and now we're getting major donations going towards conservation for birds that are threatened or becoming extinct. And they really need those donations. And I think it was a wonderful outcome for the Bird of the Year. When it comes to me talking about funding and stuff like that, that's actually not something that I'm in charge of or can make comment about. But I do think it is an important issue and I'm really grateful that it's been shed some light, especially by John Oliver with his kind of quirky campaign when it came to it.
I was just going to ask as well about the impact of tourism on New Zealand's environment. How does the ACT Party propose on managing funding for the conservation with the tourism industry in mind?
Yeah, I'm sure that's a conversation moving forward that we will have as a caucus. But when it comes to making funding decisions, that's something that we need to have discussions about before we make announcements whether we'll fund something or not. So that's why I was saying to you in regards to saying whether we will or won't fund, it's not something that I can actually comment on.
So last week, the ACT Party had also put out another press release condoning Manaya Mahuda's tweet in regards to the ongoing conflicts in Gaza with information information being released that her tweet was different from what was proposed. This is the second time that the ACT Party has put out press releases condoning other people's responses to the ongoing conflicts in Gaza. Have you found it productive to denounce other politicians' reactions as opposed to coming up with solutions?
Yeah. So I think that, like, talking about proposing coming up with solutions to this, I think no matter what we say over here and the comments we're making here, we can propose solutions. That's all well and good. But this has been a very long conflict that's been going on for quite some time. The tweets that we came out with around Mahuta's tweet when it came to the original messaging was around how strongly it needed to be condemned, how strongly we needed to condemn the attack and the rocket terror attacks from Gaza into Israel at the time. And the advice wasn't taken, and Mahuta didn't condemn it as strongly as was needed. And later, actually, they had to come out with a stronger denunciation of Hamas and what they did that day. We do feel that we need to make sure that we make it very clear that that attack was not okay, and we denounce it very strongly.
Does the ACT Party have any resolutions or suggestions towards resolving the conflicts?
Yeah, I mean, this is going to take some great negotiation from both sides, but calling for a ceasefire with no actual discussion around what we're going to do once the ceasefire happens. We need to make sure that the hostages are released, and I can't see any ceasefire happening without hostages being released. And New Zealand needs to take a humanitarian approach for aid and making sure that we are helping out with aid in that area and making sure that we are actually supporting a peaceful resolution, a two-state solution to this issue. But just calling for a ceasefire, we cannot see how that is helpful when there's still hostages being held.
And will we see any official releases from the ACT Party in regards to their stance on the conflicts?
Yes, whilst there is still negotiations in place and there's a caretaker government in place that has been talking with the National Party over the stance of what to say in this area, we support what National has said in this space and that we need to be making sure that there is a peaceful resolution, but calling for a ceasefire is not going to make that happen. We have to have like a sense of diplomacy in this, and we need to make sure that the hostages are being released so that they can come to a resolution. But until those hostages are released, I cannot see that calling for a ceasefire is going to allow for those hostages to be released.
That was ACT Party MPs Karen Chua.
That was our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Karen Chua.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.